When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And friends, we are back with Mandalorian Season 3 news. We're back with a theory about Luthen, Andor, Ahsoka, Bad Batch, all of it. It's all happening. It's all happening right now. There's a big convention going on down in Brazil. The Mandalorian.
Brazil?
Yeah. They're at like some con right now, and there's some... information being dropped. I mean, we basically got a date. We'll just go ahead and say it out here in the front. March 1st, Mandalorian Season 3.
Whoa.
That's when it's happening. That's when it's dropping.
So we still have about 4 months to go.
Yep. Uh-huh. Wow. So really, really cool. Time for us to really get our Rebels rewatch in, and also probably time for us to even go back and review some of what happened in Mandalorian Season 1 and Season 2.
Yes, I'm down.
Right? I think that would be really cool. We've been watching the Book of Boba Fett, just kind of getting caught up on some
of that. Perfect.
I know.
Because that gave me the perfect context to watch the trailer. We just watched the trailer before we started this episode.
Yeah. And I think what we'll do is we'll do a little trailer speculation, talk the first half of the show about The Mandalorian and things that are coming up and just dates, stuff that's kind of happening.
Yeah.
Talk about that trailer, break it down, maybe do a little speculation, and then dive into some of this crazy theory stuff that's going on out there.
Okay.
Which is fantastic. So The Mandalorian Season 3, again, I think it Pedro Pascal came out and was just, they came out, they did a thing. There are some images out there. If you guys want to go check those out, there are images released. There's even some leaked stuff if you really want to go dig in deep there. I'm not big on that. I like to be surprised and just taken back, you know. So he's out there March 1st. People were thinking it was going to be February, end of February they thought it was going to be, or just sometime in there. And March 1st is our date, so we're good. Now, April 7th is the Star Wars Celebration. So you're going to have about four, unless they do that thing where they release a couple episodes to start, like one or two episodes. If they don't, you should have about four or five episodes in when Star Wars Celebration is happening in London. So they might do previews, watch parties. That's been a kind of a fun thing to do there at Celebration. Going to be wild, actually. So I really think that's cool. And before that, though, this is interesting. I kind of missed this and forgot this. January 4th, Bad Batch Season 2 is coming out. And so Lottie has, just for a reminder for folks on this podcast, you've seen the main films. You've seen Mandalorian Season 1, Season 2. You've seen Rogue One, Solo, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. We are now working through Rebels,
Andor.
Rewatching that. Andor just got done watching that. So Bad Batch is not something we've got to yet. But I've explained a little bit in terms of like just who they were. It's right after the Clone Wars. It's right after Episode 3. It's this group of clones that were bad. They were a bad batch, if you will. They didn't come out perfect. And so it's them sort of learning and showing us really what... Because remember, you've asked the question, like, what happened to the clones? How did they phase out? And then you get to stormtroopers. What's the difference between a stormtrooper and like a clone trooper? And the Bad Batch helps you understand that a little bit. It shows you this transitional period. So really cool. Now, the reason I bring up the Bad Batch, and I think it's interesting that it happens before on January 4th. You ready for this? Let's just get into something here.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember in Mandalorian Season 1, we find Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
Game changer. Changes Star Wars for everything, for everybody. Now it's the future, okay? The stakes matter. Everyone loves Obi-Wan Kenobi because it's Obi-Wan and Anakin. That was great.
Yeah.
The hype was real there. But we knew that it had to fit inside of a box.
Yeah.
You can't have Obi-Wan Kenobi go out and train a whole bunch of new Jedi and start some Jedi revolution.
Yeah.
Like, that could never happen because he has to be where he is in Episode 4.
Right.
You can't change all that stuff.
Yeah.
So The Mandalorian is super exciting.
Yeah.
And you brought in a character who can live a long time. 900 years, possibly. Okay. So you have 900 years stretch of Star Wars in front of this little guy, and you just game changed everything.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Now, what's interesting about this guy, right? Grogu. That's what we're talking about. That's what Star Wars is now. It used to be Luke Skywalker. Right? I mean,
everywhere you go.
My niece, everyone, all the little kids, that it is Grogu City. And we know it, and you know it, and we need to like embrace that. Because back when I was growing up, it was Grandmaster Luke.
Yeah.
All right? So now you have doubled down and you said, let's get those people who loved Luke, right? Who were like, oh, he is like, remember I told you, Legends Luke is untouchable. Like you could, Master Skywalker had the power to, I mean, he could, there's a quote in episode 4 where Vader is talking, he's on the Death Star, and they're talking about blowing up a planet, and he said, look, like to destroy a planet, that power in and of itself is insignificant to the power of the Force. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of stuff that we're exploring in The Mandalorian, and that's really what's making it just feel bigger and grander. And so that's what, you know, Luke had those types of powers in Legends, and now you've got him training Grogu. So that was the piece that was missing for you. We had to go into the Book of Boba Fett and see, okay, at the end of season 2, Luke is gets Grogu, rescue mission, takes him, he's training him, he's working with it, gives him a choice. And now we learn, okay, he's going back to daddy.
Yeah.
He's going back to Daddy Mando, all is well. But what's interesting about the season 3 trailer is Dr. Pershing and the cloning that's going on. Now, I bring this up in correlation with the Bad Batch season 2 because those are clones.
Right.
There was the Clone Wars. Cloning has always been a big deal in Star Wars, and people forget this sometimes. I'm surprised it didn't trickle in more into the sequels, actually. But, you know, rear deflector shield's going off. Strap yourself in. We got an alarm. Home one. We're under attack.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. It's cloning is a big deal. We had the Bad Batch season 2, where in which Omega is the, you know, you've got Alpha and Omega, you've got the beginning and the end, and you've got the idea that she's different. She's something different. She's from the host, from Jango, and you get the Kamino cloners in that. And this is, I don't really worry too much about spoiling stuff for Bad Batch season 1 for Lottie. Quite frankly, it's season 1 of it. We'll get into it. We'll watch it at some point. I'm more worried about keeping the Rebel rewatch a surprise for her and letting her really experience that. But Bad Batch will be information you can catch up on pretty quickly, and you know, that's that. Maybe I'm wrong, and like for right now we're only one season in. If there were 4 or 5 seasons and I knew something epic was going to happen, I might like, all right, kind of not go that route.
Right.
But Omega is a clone, and she is with other cloners. They are actually taking genetic material from Grogu. All right. So they're taking genetic material from Grogu, and they are, people believe, right, that the Empire was, or that Palpatine had secret projects where he wanted to clone Force sensitives. He wanted to, all of the sequels is about him getting Rey to, you know, strike him down so he could kind of inhabit, so she could fall to the dark side, he could inhabit her body, pass his essence on. He didn't have a host. There were these hosts that they had created were not sufficient. And so to create a clone body, or just a body that a Force user could inhabit and not destroy it or whatever, was something very interesting to the Empire and to Palpatine. So Grogu is at the center of that, and they want him back. Dr. Pershing wants his blood. They want the sample. They want to know it. And in some ways, you know, he lives for a super long time. If you're burning up the life essence of a regular human just because you're a massive Force sensitive like Palpatine, well, what if you got a hold of something like Grogu? What if you could use something in his genetics? Remember, 900 years old. Could live a millennia.
Yep.
Is there something in his genetics that could help you live a little bit longer? So the Bad Batch is exploring all of that pre-Empire, back early on in the day. They go to, here's a doozy. They go to a place called Mount Tantus. This is a place in Legends. All right, you ready for this? By the end of this series, by the time you're done with Star Wars, we're going to start calling you Legends Lottie. Just like Legends Luke, okay? I'm going to have you all coached up on Legends. But there was a place called Mount Tantus where you had the Emperor's sort of warehouse, and he had a cloning facility where he was cloning these different individuals. Here in Legends, he actually clones Luke Skywalker.
Whoa.
Yeah, Legends story. Luke Skywalker fights Luke Skywalker. So you had the evil clone fighting, and so Palpatine had set this up. Now, he's not around at the time because he had died, right? And there are the Imperial Remnant, Thrawn, and others. They find that facility.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Bad Batch, they went there. At the end of Season 1, they go to Mount Tantus. So they're at a cloning facility. You have clones there. You have the Kaminoans who do cloning. You have Dr. Pershing's mother, the same patch we see in Mandalorian Season 1, the same patch for the cloners. We see that in Bad Batch.
Yeah.
We see what looks like Dr. Pershing's mother, for crying out loud, in Bad Batch Season 1. Now, they're releasing that right before. So in January 4th, we're going to learn more about the cloning. We're going to learn more about the Mount Tantus project.
Okay.
It's probably going to roll right into some of the stuff with Mandalorian Season 3. Although Mandalorian Season 3 seems to be exploring more of, you know, what's happening on Mandalore and Din Djarin and less about the cloning stuff. But still, that element was there in Season 2. They were they wanted Grogu, right? Highest, all these, they're paying tons of money to get him back, to put him in a facility where they can clone stuff. As they walk through Moff Gideon's, you know, laboratory, his place, they see old Snoke. You know, Snoke, like the Grand Supreme Leader, Snoke, they see sort of like bodies that look like they would have been early versions of him.
Yeah.
So he's clearly involved in that type of project, and Grogu is still, I think, a target, a wanted, you know, individual in the galaxy. And his species is very rare. We don't know. We know Yaddle. We just found out that Yaddle is not alive.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I thought Yaddle was still out there. They could bring her back, but no. Tales of the Jedi, they killed her. She's gone. She went down fighting. And it's, so there's that. Yoda, he is gone. So Grogu is left. Are there others? Where's his homeworld? We've never gone there. That's the one thing George Lucas sort of said. It's a big question mark. Always leave it a question mark. And we may never get it.
Do you think they will always leave it?
No one knows. No one knows. It's sort of one of those things that you can create other question marks along the way, and they may answer it in a few years, 10 years or something, like drive to something big, huge reveal. That'd be awesome. It'd be kind of cool, but... Yeah.
That's the point. They don't have a name for Yoda's species. That's why it was just Baby Yoda, because we don't know what Yoda is.
Exactly. Have no clue. We have no idea. He was born the same time Anakin Skywalker was born. So think about that. Anakin Skywalker was the chosen one. They were born the same time. And so he's very young, and he has a lot of life left. Because when we were in that episode where we were talking about Luke giving him the choice, you're kind of like, wait, what's up? A lot of people read it as like Luke's being kind of hard on Grogu, but he says something interesting. He says, you know, our lifetime is the blink of an eye to you, right? It's really like our lifetime will go by very quickly, and it won't have been very quick it'll be quick for you. It is long for us, right? Because our lifespans are so much shorter than Grogu's. So essentially, I saw him saying, you're not ready to be trained yet.
Yeah.
You need to go live. You need your father. You need to go back to Din Djarin, to the Mandalorian, and take this armor with you. It's okay. The lightsaber you can pick up later. He didn't say it exactly like that, but I felt that sort of like...
Okay.
Okay, you can come back to this later. He's the future of Star Wars. So, yeah, it's amazing. Whatever they're doing here with the man, wherever they want to build out this Mandoverse, it's such a big deal, because beyond the sequels, you could do so much to tie Grogu in with Rey, both trained by Luke Skywalker, and tell us a story years from now, whether Rey's super old or you want to pick right back up with Rey or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be really cool to see a younger, sort of stronger Grogu who was ready to become a knight, Jedi knight, speak, talk, run, jump, use the force, powerful as Master Yoda. You saw Master Yoda fight. You saw You saw Yaddle fight.
Yeah.
You saw Yaddle. So that's, judge me by my size, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you should. Luke was saying that. You shouldn't do that. So Grogu can be, he is already a big deal.
Yeah.
And right now, he's sort of witnessing all of this, and he's growing up during this time with the Mandalorian, Bo-Katan. You've got Ahsoka. That series is happening. You're going to have Luke out there doing something. He'll probably move on, but be around and know about him, and was trained, was going to be his first student. He's there long enough.
Yeah.
Anyways,
he's building a school.
Yeah, he's building a school. And so he's getting some of that. He definitely has already been trained a little bit and has been influenced by Luke to a degree. And he's been influenced by other masters at the temple back when he was even younger. So... it's really good news. It's really exciting. The one photo that they did release out there is just they're in the cockpit of the new ship, and it's just, he's just got Grogu in his lap, and it's just Mando just there, and they're looking out. They pulled in somewhere, and it looks kind of cool. But what's interesting about the season three trailer is Dr. Pershing is back. So the guy who's there for cloning, the guy who connects us back to Bad Batch and to Omega. See, a lot of the theories are this character, and I'll show you a picture of her. Omega, you actually look her up. Just look up Star Wars Omega, and you'll see an image of her. And we can get into who that is, and I can tell you, I can fill in the gaps later, kind of on that. People believe that she may show up in live action in Mandalorian Season 3.
Why?
Because she is heavily connected to cloning and to these cloners in the Empire who would like to get a hold of Grogu. Now, she is not like a, she's not a villain. She's good. She's trying to help out and looking to make change. But she was on Kamino, and they tried to acquire her. The Bad Batch unit kind of works to save her. And we don't really know where that story is going. We just know that she's essentially Boba Fett's sister.
I was going to say, she is been created from the genetic template of the Mandalorian bounty hunter Jango Fett.
Yeah, right. So she's connected to those clones, to Rex, to all the clones, all of her brothers.
Yeah.
Those are all her brothers, and she's the only sister.
Wow.
Kind of like Smurf X, or whatever her name was. She's the one Smurf who has all the... She's the female Smurf. Anyway, that's her. But we wonder. So I think what's interesting is you're going to see what happens in Bad Batch Season 2. Maybe she doesn't make it. Maybe she sacrifices herself, or something tragic happens, or whatever. But if she's still alive and still around, you could have her in a couple years show up in Mandalorian Season 3, 4, or 5, whatever they're going to do. But I feel like she's someone who could be around. Boba Fett's still around. And they do not have the age acceleration, which causes them to die quicker, so they can live much longer. That's why Boba Fett's still younger and active when Rex, as you saw, is old. And by the time of Return of the Jedi, Rex will be very old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to be that fit. He's more of an advisor, and he's not going to be... Yeah. So you could have someone like Omega and Boba still be around and connect us back to that time period, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyways, he's in that. Dr. Pershing, who was working on Baby Yoda, on Grogu, was extracting some samples from him, etc., and even sort of said, hey, I want to save him. When Din Djarin showed up, he was like, I don't want the child to die. I'm not trying to hurt the child. I'm trying to actually make sure the child's okay. And I do work for the Imperial Remnant. They are trying to get a sample from him, but I'm trying to preserve his life. It is the way it kind of comes off. But he's still around, and what's he up to? Was he just trying to save his own skin? Who is he working for? Is he now working for the New Republic? I couldn't get a good glimpse of him. So if you guys have thoughts and theories on where that's going, why he's in it, I'm pretty doggone sure that I saw him in there. It was just a real quick... I'm gonna skim back through it, but just a real quick shot of Dr. Pershing, and it was interesting. So yeah, exciting news though. Exciting news. Are you excited?
I'm
down. We'll cover it week by week.
Super excited for Mandalorian. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
I love the music.
Again,
the trailer, the music blew me away.
Yeah. It is really so good. They've done such a great job with it, and it just feels like, we're playing it again. It feels like Star Wars. It's not John Williams composing it, but yet it still feels very, very Star Wars. So what's interesting is there's tons in the trailer. We have tons more Mandalorians, tons of individuals out here. It looks like Mando's going to go back and try to redeem himself for taking his helmet off. And something that... What a joke.
I mean, right? We saw tons of Mandalorians taking their helmets off.
I think he's misled, right? I think he's a little bit misled in terms of what is the way he follows children of the what are they called? Is that what they're called? Yeah, I have to look them up. But the cult that he's sort of following, Bo-Katan essentially says your cult has fractured our people, and it's caused a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what... Oh my gosh, I just stopped this trailer at 54 seconds, and I just saw R5. In the back. Remember I told you about R5, the bad motivator?
Yeah.
Right? We see him. He's actually in the N1. I can't tell if that's Pelimoto in there or if it's Mando, but they're zooming away in an N1 fighter. which is interesting. Okay. So he's in the spot. He's in the where the droid sits, but behind the cockpit. So that's at 54 seconds, guys. If you want to go check that out, it's really cool. And that's Mando. Mando is flying it. As I click on through there, it's Mando and R5. So that's pretty radical. He does show up with Grogu, and he walks in, and he sees Bo-Katan. And there's a big talk. He's got the Darksaber. He won it in combat. She was given it at one point, which I'm not going to talk about because I don't want to spoil anything for Lottie. But you cannot just be given it. You have to win it. You have to win it in combat. That was the whole thing that was being talked about between her, between him and the armorer. They were going back and forth about, you know, how the history of that saber, that the saber.
Yeah.
That it was a Mandalorian who was also a Jedi who created that saber, and it really matters to their people.
Yeah.
And it declares the ruler. Essentially, he has it, and it's in the faction of this extremist group that will not take their helmets off. This is the way. They have a creed.
Yeah.
And Bo-Katan is sitting there saying, my helmet's off. It doesn't matter. And you guys have set up some ridiculous religious sort of crazy cult way that has fractured our people, that's causing a lot of issues. And she's like, I've been a part of the Mandalorian culture for a long time. Where have you been?
Right.
And he's a foundling. He's someone who was found, during at the end of the Clone Wars there. So interesting anyways. But, so we see him talking. We see a lot of things going on. They're doing different. I don't know if they're going to fight. There's tons of them. Looks like they're working to sort of free. I don't know if it's part of their, it doesn't seem like their world, but maybe one of the surrounding worlds of Mandalore. They're definitely fighting folks off. So, yeah. Here it is. It's at 1:15. Dr. Pershing is walking through a facility of some kind, and it's literally like 2-second. You know, quick thing, and then you switch over to some Nikto gang member, and you've got Transdosian out there facing down Greef Karga. So, yeah.
Okay.
But it's just an awesome trailer. It looks really cool, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening. Bib, what is his name? Babu Frick. Babu Frick. Look this name up, sweetie. This is, B-A-B-U-F-R-I-K. Let me make sure that's him. I think that's Babu Frick. Did I just click out of it? Let me just see here. Oh, I think I did. Darn it. Anyways, I think he's in the trailer. I saw a little individual that looks just like him.
I saw a picture of him and Rey.
Yeah, right? So he's in Rise of Skywalker. So he's the one who helps bypass C-3PO's sort of protocol that won't allow him to read the Sith language. It was banned. You weren't allowed to read it. It was part of his programming,
yeah.
Wasn't allowed to read those, the writing on the dagger, which is crazy. Anyway, but yeah, Babu Frick looked like it was him. So if I'm wrong, if you guys know more, etc., broken it down, like let me know. I'd love to have some thoughts and theories on Mandalorian Season 3 trailer. And I'm guessing we're going to be getting a new one here soon. We might get more. This is the one that has actually been out for a little bit. So it's not anything really brand new. Watch. As I release this episode, something new is going to come out tomorrow, and that's fine. We'll do another episode, and we'll cover it. But I would love to get your guys' thoughts on Mando Season 3. Just hype, excitement. Theories, where do you think it's going, what's going to happen, who might we see, are we going to see another Ahsoka, I don't know, reference to set up her series a bit more, are these characters, you know, kind of crossing over in these series, which is great, it helps to build continuity between the two shows, when you have Boba Fett showing up in Mandalorian, and then Mandalorian showing up in Boba Fett, and then Ahsoka showing up there, and then Luke showing up in both shows, now Luke can show up in Ahsoka, you know what I mean? So they're building a verse, they're building this Mando verse, which is really cool. I mean, it's Star Wars, everyone's like, come on, Ez, everything's connected, but sometimes they don't have a lot of crossover in certain, you know, shows or whatever, so.
Yeah.
Like, Andor was its own thing. We weren't going to get some random drop of, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi in there, or whatever. They're not doing that level of interconnectedness.
Who knows?
And it's who knows, but it's understandable.
Yeah.
So, okay, I think actually, so yeah, that's kind of our news, kind of a breakdown. Other big things that are really coming up. You have, again, we've said the Ahsoka series in 2023. Something called Skeleton Crew, which is coming out in 2023 as well. So that was announced during Star Wars Celebration 2022. So all we know is it's set in the New Republic era and will follow a group of kids lost in the galaxy trying to find their way home. And it's described as a Star Wars version of some sort of like coming of age films like E.T. and The Goonies. So it's sort of like a kids sort of thing. Yeah, but it's set in the New Republic
era.
Can
I tell you something?
So, yeah.
I have never seen E.T.
You've never seen it?
There you go.
Whoa. We might have to cover that on our new podcast.
Isn't that a Christmas movie?
E.T.? E.T. No, Phone Home?
Not really.
I mean, we could watch it during Christmas. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Not necessarily a Christmas movie, but like a movie you would watch in December.
I don't know. I just haven't seen it in so long. I don't know when.
Sorry to...
No, it's a Steven Spielberg movie. It's great. John Williams composed it. It's produced by Kathleen Kennedy, you know. E.T. I would love to watch it with you. It's great. There's actually an E.T., one of his species. They actually bring the E.T. model into the Senate chamber, and he's in Star Wars.
No.
Yeah, he's in Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, whether it's E.T. or one of his people.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually, that they did
it. I just remember I told you, was it yesterday when we watched Boba Fett?
Yeah.
When we see just these green, typical, what, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, what they depicted as aliens, because that's what some people claimed they have seen, was aliens or these small green creatures with big eyes. And this is just one of the species we see in Star Wars, which is so cool because it's just a, you know, the entire universe is full of different species. And the one that we've, you know, apparently some humans have seen is just one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I know. It's interesting to think about that. So, okay. Well, let's kind of shift gears. That the things that are coming up, just to kind of finish that thought. Yeah, we've got that group. We've got The Acolyte possibly coming out in 2023. Not really sure. Mandalorian season 3, as we said, March first coming out. Andor season 2, probably 2024 down the line. They've announced other things. Not sure if those things are coming out. We will have to kind of wait and see. But let's shift gears here. Something that's been floating around the internet that's been pretty popular, and we were going to work the other day, and you read this to me, and I was sort of like, wait, what is going on?
Uh-huh.
What is going on here? Luthen Rail is a Jedi. Is a Jedi. This is sort of wild. There's
probably.
It's probably floating around. I think it's something. So what are your reaction to that? Because you hear that, and you said something when we were watching Andor. You felt like maybe he should be.
Right? Oh, yeah. But just the first, I think, when does he show up? The first or second episode?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We see him for the first time, and he has his, whatever, staff or weapon. Or it just looks, to me, I just mistook it as a lightsaber. And to me, it was clear, oh, this is a Jedi. Until you told me, nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. That was not a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. So, but then we get all these hints. He has a ton of Jedi artifacts and different connections, and his name hints at, that's what you told me, at a certain Jedi.
You know, here's something interesting, and let me pull him up. So, because I had you check this, and you said he was
same spelling.
So, yeah. Rael Avaros. All right,
you guys. R A E L.
Yep. So R-A-E-L, Rael Avaros, was a Force-sensitive human male, was a Jedi. He was also Lord Regent at one point. He was trained by Jedi Master Dooku. So before Qui-Gon Jinn, there was Rael Avaros. Now, timeline doesn't work it out, but it's just interesting. You have Luthen Rael.
Yeah.
So, okay, they have Luthen's last name, or whatever, is this guy's first name.
Yeah.
Connection to Jedi.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Is a connection in his name to a Jedi that we know from the book Master and Apprentice, where Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan literally go and they have a confrontation with Count Dooku's former apprentice. And he's not fully dark side. He's not fully bad. He seems to kind of lost his way. He's, you know, back and forth, whatever. Now, I'm not sure if the timeline works out, if his age works out, none of that stuff. It's just an interesting connection between their names. And you're like, okay, what's up with that? Now, you go a step further, and you look at all of the stuff in his shop. You've got connections to a Jedi Temple guard. You've got Mandalorian armor. You've got the Starkiller helmet. You've got a Jedi holocron, a Sith holocron. As you said, he carries a staff that looks like a lightsaber. He has Kleia, who seems to be at his side like an apprentice or a Padawan would be.
Mm-hmm.
You have him wearing a hooded cloak You have all of that stuff sort of going on. He has, oh, by the way, a sky blue kyber crystal, right, that he gives to Cassian. And that bad boy could be popped into a lightsaber at any time you need. Maybe that's why his staff isn't lighting up the way, right? You know, so there's that. So, and then also you had all this stuff that came out during his monologue that was really interesting. He's giving up all chance at inner peace. He's giving up all, this is when he's talking to Lonnie. He says, I've made up my mind, I've made my mind a sunless place. I share my dreams with ghosts. What? As in like force ghost, right?
Ooh.
I wake up every day to an equation I wrote 15 years ago from which there's only one conclusion. I'm damned for what I do. 15 years ago was Order 66 to the date.
Really?
Yes. So wow. 15 years ago is when the Empire starts, but it starts
okay,
on
I'm
the
convinced.
Back. Yeah, it starts on the back of Order 66. He says, my anger, my ego, my unwillingness to yield, my eagerness to fight, they've set me on a path from which there is no escape. And everyone knows this. Yoda says, once you start down that path, and he says, they've set me on a path, right? His anger, anger leads to hate and all this, right? Yoda talks about this.
Yeah.
Sets him on a path that he can't escape from. Once you start down that path, forever will it dominate your destiny. I yearn to be a savior against injustice without contemplating the cost. And by the time I looked down, there was no longer any ground beneath my feet. Right? So sort of losing his way. So was he, I don't know, a Jedi Temple guard? Was he there? Did he see Order 66 executed? Is that why he has access to all of these different artifacts?
Yeah.
Is there a connection to Rael Avaros? I don't know. Who knows? Did he change his name and pick that because maybe Rael trained him or something at some point? Is it him honoring his master who fell or whatever? Who knows? Perhaps, yeah. We're going to kind of see. But people are, is he a gray Jedi? Is he all these different things? Is
What's
he
a gray
Sith?
Jedi?
Well, oh boy. People are laughing right now as I even bring that up. Gray Jedi, what are you talking about? So it's one of those things that in Legends was talked about that you could be sort of a Jedi that was not necessarily fully on the light side, and you were you dabbled in the dark
in
a little bit and came
gray
back
zone.
Yeah, gray zone, gray, yeah. But that's not it's against the Jedi code, right? So essentially, he wouldn't be following the Jedi code, and he had fallen to the dark side. Not sure. He does say this, right? He says, "What is my sacrifice? I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to defeat them. I burn my decency for someone else's future." I mean, just crazy. I burn my life to make a sunrise that I know I'll never see, and the ego that started this fight will never have a mirror or an audience or the light of gratitude. So what do I sacrifice? Everything. And so for him, if you were a Jedi, if the code was what you followed, that was your way of life. That was your everything.
Yeah.
And you would be sacrificing that. And Kleia, I've wondered so long about Kleia. What is up? Once I heard somebody say, well, Kleia actually could be his apprentice. And I was like, hold on. Now, actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
If he got away with his apprentice or Padawan, and she grew up sort of saying that she seems to have the same energy and mentality and drive that he has.
Yeah.
And it could be because she lost some of her other Padawan friends. She knows what he went through. They fought and scraped to get by, whatever it might be. So I feel like that's a huge one. And I was just sort of like, you know, because I was like, is she a lover, his daughter? Is she? I can't put a finger on what she is. Remember when she goes to see Belle?
Yeah.
And she throws her hood up and looks super intense with her walk. You know, you see her walking around the shop doing different things and putting on a face. But then when I saw her in that scene, I was like, ooh, she could actually kick some butt.
Yeah.
She could do some damage. Yeah. You know, not to be whatever. You see people in costumes. Like, I look at Mon Mothma. I know Mon Mothma can kick some butt, too. But she's a senator, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you portray her that way to say, hey, she's in politics. So it's just awesome to kind of think about, to see her. And they changed so much. Luthen and she were going in and out of costume, speaking in code at the center of this, like connected to other big players. But they're the ones working right under the Emperor's nose. And I think what's interesting about this is that, like, if you were a Jedi and you saw all that and you really wanted some poetic start to the downfall of Emperor Palpatine, who brought on all of this, you would start all of this right underneath his nose. And so, because other people get into it and they see the aftermath of the rebellion, who was there when it started and who was there from this transitional time to sort of say, I'm going to start something and I'm going to fight back. And if I have to go dark side to do it, I'll do it. And I think we've all kind of, as adults, been sort of like, whoa, what if they did that?
Yeah, you know,
what if they ever picked a character and did something like that? And Luthen is that character.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it more and more. I used to kind of like, ah, so sure, we don't have to have a Jedi. It's all right. We don't have to have Force user. And he may never pull a lightsaber. He may never do anything with the Force. People are like, well, wait, how could he be around Palpatine if he's, well, he cut himself off from the Force.
Yeah.
Right? He's not using those methods. He's using different tools, the tools that have been dealt to him. All right, I got to cut myself off from the Force. Fine. You know, I have these Force relics and artifacts and things like that. They're of no danger to Palpatine because he can't, he's not going to use the Force and wave his hand around and say, hey, here I am. I'm a Jedi. Come get me. They'll sense him.
Yeah. And also in one theory was that he uses that Jedi artifact and Sith artifact to create like a almost like a disturbance, and you know that you can't really sense his Force power.
Good call. That's right. As we were reading about this, and shout out to Screen Rant and a couple other places who I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to kind of reference at this time, but there was a lot of different outlets that were talking about this idea, and we were watching several of those channels, and one of them was Screen Rant. He brought up that particular angle, which is that Yoda hid by a nexus in the Force, a Force cave as well, to where there was a dark side energy.
Yeah.
So he could continue to operate in the Force, but be cloaked by the dark side.
Yeah.
And Yoda had so set himself just sort of aligned himself with the light that dark cave didn't affect him. Yoda's too good. He's the Grand Master. That you're not going to tempt Yoda. And so that's what's kind of cool about that is that like other Jedi might have fallen to the temptation of that cave or what it offered, the dark side and et cetera, and all that power you could tap into there. No, not him. Not Yoda. So now what is right now, if you have the Sith holocron, and if it is emitting, or if there is any other artifacts in there emitting a lot of dark side energy, you know, Palpatine's got all of his stuff. People might be saying, why doesn't Palpatine just go down there and get that? I don't know. It's sort of the audacity of having it right there underneath him. I don't think people have gone in there and looked. Also, Palpatine is not a declared Sith.
No,
people don't know that. He's just a politician. You're not reporting back to him and say, hey, tell Palpatine there's a bunch of Jedi artifacts down here. You know, you might know he has an obsession with it, but you might not even know, coming in as an informant or whatever, what a Jedi holocron or Sith holocron looks like. And he keeps them in the back shop. He doesn't keep them out front, which is very smart. So your everyday customer or whatever is not going to see that.
No. Yeah.
Because you guys out there listening who have seen Rebels and you know what's up, you know, and I don't want to, if anybody wants to go look this up, you're more than welcome to. But when you put those two together, crazy stuff happens. And so the fact that you've got a Jedi holocron and a Sith holocron sitting side by side is wild. And so I love it. I love it. And I just think it's great. We'll get there. You know, you and I will get there when we get into the Rebel stuff. We're gonna go crazy. But yeah, like this theory a lot. Now, real quickly, before we dive off here, so we hit the Mandalorian stuff. Lots of good news. Lots of good things. Wanted to talk about that. If you guys have thoughts, by the way, any additions on the Luthen stuff, please let me know. One more here. Quick one. I'm not going to go over this one a whole lot, but there was this idea that Clea could be Leia. And I just thought it was interesting. There's just the name. It's just that reference. It's, you know, this is 5 years after Obi-Wan Kenobi, where we saw her as a little girl. For me, it's kind of a big jump. Like, she aged a lot in 5 years, if that's the case. But there are people talking about that. So I wanted to acknowledge that it is a fan theory going around there that Clea, Luthen's assistant and rebel operative, is actually Princess Leia in disguise. She does have a lot of different stuff going on with the hair. And when you look at her and compare her to Carrie Fisher in Princess Leia, there is some similarities there. And there might even be a connection back to Leia and the royal, like her, the family or the people, like Winter or people who were around Leia, but I don't know that it is. I think it's interesting. So there's that. She's around a lot of those artifacts. When visited by political figures like Mon Mothma, she acts as sort of this attendant, comes out there and does her thing. So to me, it's like, wouldn't Mon and other people know? Or maybe they're just playing along, perhaps. Not really sure.
When do you think her father, Bail Organa, let her in, like, on all the rebellion stuff? Like...
Yeah, probably. So when she
be a part of it.
When she got involved with Obi-Wan, I feel like when she gets back home, it's sort of like, okay, I've seen people sacrifice themselves for this cause, for me. I know what's up. Even though she's little, she is in that. And that's sort of what was funny about our friend Michaela, who did the whole skit.
Yeah.
Like, Leia's way in this fight long before Luke, and it's getting real serious. But thought that was interesting. Some people are saying that Luthen is just a front man for Leia, Kleia, and they think that she's doing a lot more, but he's sort of bearing the burden of being the front man in case something happens.
Yeah.
So, she did have a red cape with a hood, which is similar to the one that she wore in the Obi-Wan series. So she did wear that sort of red fabric a little bit.
Well, what was the one thing that I thought was cool is when she, who did she talk to? Mon Mothma? No.
Vel? When she talked to Vel? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Wait, that was later though. When she says that she, something about she's been longer in this than.
Oh, the fight? She's talking to Luthen. She's talking to Luthen about that.
Oh, is she?
I think.
Okay, maybe.
Unless we're talking about a different scene. I'm not sure.
No, I think we were talking about the same thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, it's people are saying here that they, I get what you're saying, is that she's been in the fight for a long time. So would take us back to the time 5 years ago or six, whatever, with Leia. Somebody said, I feel like she'd be too well known to pull that off as an undercover persona. She's the daughter of a longtime senator and heir to the throne. Wouldn't Leia be about 14? Kleia's actor seems a bit older.
Too old.
But they do look similar, and it is interesting to think about how she might be tied to another big family. Because, like, Vel, when we first see Vel, I'm like, okay. She's Shendrillin. She's like Mon Mothma's cousin. You wouldn't have thought that. I had no clue. So there are surprises like that in Andor that I was very impressed with, and I think is really cool. So there is, let me see here. There's another theory though. So Leia would be 15 during 5ABY. She'd be 14 during, did they get this right? During 5ABY. And she didn't know of the rebellion until she was roughly 16. It's a neat theory, but it doesn't add up. Okay. This press, I think they're off on the, after the battle. We're a little off there. Anyway. So the theory goes on here. Let me see. It kind of gives way to another idea or prediction that Kleia might be Cassian's long-lost sister, which would explain how Luthen knew so much about Cassian before they even met. I actually think that Kleia might end up being Cassian's sister. Perhaps she was taken from Kanari when he left on the investigative mission as a child and ended up with a rougher crowd like Crimson Dawn or something, which has made her more ruthless. It would explain how Luthen knows all about Andor, because we don't know that, and I actually like that a lot more. I think Marva is sort of like, just doesn't believe anybody made it off, and I think really in her heart she's not trying to say stop your search. It's just she wants him to have closure and live his life. I think it's just a mother's kind of wish for her son and try. It's such a balance. What do? You're not giving up hope, but you're also wanting that person to move on. And it's a big galaxy. It's tough. So she's trying to take care of him in her own way. And maybe she is dead. Maybe Marva does know that, and that was a really kind thing she does. Either way, I think she's acting out of kindness. Now, if this idea is that she grew up with Crimson Dawn, that'd be quite impressive, because Kira, you remember Solo? Where Han Solo and he gets his ship
Kira, she was played by the same as Daenerys.
Amelia Clark. So she actually ends up Crimson Dawn getting a lot of
female, now I remember.
She gets a lot of female characters around her and a lot of different groups and people, and starts to really work that unit. Darth Maul is in control of it actually at the time. and something happens. We don't know what happens to Darth Maul and Kira, or where that all kind of works out. We know where Darth Maul ends up, but we don't know about Kira necessarily. Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting. Cool thoughts, cool theories. I really like both of those. Just the idea that Luthen is a Jedi. There's some connection there anyways, whether he's a freaking librarian or maybe a collector, or maybe he was in charge of their artifacts for all we freaking know. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. But that speech was big. It was a big deal, and there's a lot going on there. So excited to see him move forward in Andor Season 2. I was blown away by Andor. I hope you guys were too. If not, it's okay. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but boy, I enjoyed it. I just thought it was, thought it was a really good time.
I liked it too. Yep, definitely.
Good ride. So, all right. Anything else that I'm missing, sweetie? Anything else you can think of? Just thinking as we just want to dive on here, because a lot of this was breaking out today. We had just news coming left and right, and then these theories coming at the, you know, Andor was last week, finished up. So any other thoughts there? What are you looking at?
The actress for Clea.
Yeah, yeah.
Elizabeth Delau?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delau?
Yeah.
Is a British actress, and I just wanted to know how old she is. So the actress is 1 year younger than I am.
Oh, okay. Okay, 95. Gotcha.
95.
Gotcha.
95.
Yeah, I just felt like she's a bit older, for sure.
So yeah, that would make her 27.
But it would fit in more with Cassian's sister, possibly. Because you could also make her look a little young, you know, play a younger character. So,
right. No, I think... Because I didn't feel like the whole sister thing. I was kind of hoping we get more of Cassian's backstory and his sister.
Yeah, something that just dropped out of nowhere, and we were sort of like, wait, what? But because I was telling you, I was hoping that we would find her, and that in some way Cassian's family, spirit, whatever, lives on.
Yeah.
And like their her kids or whoever were like, that's Uncle, you know, Cassian. Yes. And he Cass did this crazy thing and was... Yeah. Well, yeah, just wild. I don't know. Okay. All right, friends. Well, hey, I wanted to mention something as we get off here. Feel free, if you clicked over on Apple, you will know that we're Star Wars Hangout, we're Shell Cottage Radio, a Harry Potter podcast. Coming soon, The Watchfuls, friends. We have our show where we're covering all sorts of TV shows, all sorts of goodness. Look out for that. That is coming, and it's going to be under sort of our Ez and Lottie little network that we have. So if you're on Apple Premium, you'll see all that. You can click on that and find all of our shows. We got big guests coming up for Shell Cottage Radio. Like, I feel like we had a big guest, and we have other collaborations that are in the works right now. Super stoked about that. Some of them also might be over here on Star Wars Hangout. We're working on that. That's kind of as we get into Mandalorian Season 3, and we have some big shows dropping. We'll be bringing those folks over this direction. But just really excited about all those things. Willow is out. We haven't talked about it yet, but we're going to talk about it on that show. We might drop a special episode here as kind of a crossover thing. So if you see that, we watched the original. And hey, Professor Flitwick, Wicket, he was awesome. He was out there, you know, conjuring up the powers of who knows what. I don't even know where he... That was wild. Our nephew watched that, and it's the most TV he's watched. He was really glued in on that old TV show, movie.
Maybe that's why it was so popular, because, I mean, honestly, it was
strange.
It was very strange and very long.
Yeah.
And maybe because it was captivating for children, that's why... You know, everyone was like, hey, great, my child is occupied for a few hours.
Just got a cult following, and now the series is out there, so it's out on Disney Plus. Go check it out. Week by week, they're dropping it, so it's exciting. But anyways, friends, hey, that is all for us this week. Feel free to send us a message over at Star Wars Hangout 77. Send us that over at Gmail as well, StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. We will read your thoughts, your theories, anything. We actually break away, and we will do even a special episode just on your theory on Luthen or whoever. If you got one involving Grogu moving forward, Rey, there's news, there's rumors out there that Daisy Ridley might be coming back as Rey, and they're doing something post-sequels. That is actually out there. Lots of cool stuff. And Bob Iger's in, so it's like go time. So we'll see. All right, friends. Hey, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. And as always, may the Force be with you.